This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's Wednesday morning, CliffCentral.com. We are here to take care of you, look after you, and start your day off right. It is just after 7 o'clock. We've got a couple of calls coming in, so we'll take those in a second or two. Gord, Ben, Sia, we're all here to look after you today. What's that, slowly? To do what?
Possibly antagonize you and make fun of your religious beliefs, but otherwise look after you like you were our own.
Yes. So Gord has been trying for the longest time to get me to play Kenny Loggins.
Straight up.
Kenny, which I think is a terrible idea.
Ken Log, as we call him these days in hip circles.
Yeah.
K-Log.
Is that Ken?
well, we'll get into that discussion in a minute. Nobile's on the line. Hey, Nobile, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, all you guys.
Hey, bro, what's happening?
A lot is happening, man.
You sound depressed. What's wrong?
Yeah, I am depressed, actually. So I was just listening to R. Kelly, and then I realized most of these songs, these romantic and sex songs, are kids. So I was so shocked.
It's kind of put a dampener on things, hasn't it?
Yeah, because if you think about that song, the most famous one.
Ignition.
Where it goes... No, not Ignition. Where it goes... my mind is telling me no, but my body
say yes.
Oh God, you just spoiled it for me. Oh.
Dude, like when I was listening to it the other day, that's when I went, oh no, I can't listen to the song. I can't even play this song anymore.
You'd be like, damn right, your mind should be telling you no, R.
Oh man.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, oh, God,
even I,
because
I had Ignition in my head the other day, which is a fairly kind of banal song. You know, you're not attributing too much meaning to. Is there a remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen? And you'd think it was fairly, you know, middle of the road.
Yeah.
But then when he talks about after the party, it's the after party, and then he goes into how the party descends into, like, eventually you take her to your room and
somebody. And it's obviously a party with balloons and candles, like like a.
And a cake.
I was thinking about poor Aaliyah at the time. Like, oh shame,
Aaliyah,
man. Oh, yeah. Gosh, she's singing about Aaliyah and all those other girls. What about the, I wish. I realized he's actually wishing for a kid.
God, you've spoiled it for all of us now. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I just had to share this misery. I can't be the only one lone suffering.
Well, you know what's going to happen next is Michael Jackson's going to be ruined for you, too.
Nah, Michael Jackson is fine. His music, it doesn't sound as gory or as bad as R. Kelly,
sleazy,
in my opinion.
Mm.
Like, except for Billie Jean. Like, Billie Jean is not Michael, but in fact, wasn't Michael Jackson presumed to be gay, rather?
Well,
he's like almost chemically castrated and all that stuff.
Nobody really knows. There were horrible rumors about him, but I mean, how do we know what to believe and what not to? In Billie Jean, he's supposedly singing about a woman who claims that she has his son. But
yeah,
remember there was that kid who actually claimed to be the kid that Billie Jean was about?
His kids are so white you can almost see through them. So I want to know how that happened.
Well,
yeah, man, it's like, they're so white. They're like proper daywalkers. Huh?
They are from the mountains of Caucasus. They are Scandinavian children. They are the proprietors of the Third Reich. They are so white.
That's unnecessary.
Yeah. They are called the Nazis.
What do they call it? The AWP would be so proud of them.
They would have them in a second and put them on posters.
All right. Thanks. Robile, nice to speak to you. All right, dude.
R. Kelly has actually just done his first interview this evening in the U.S. So right now, I'm just trying to find it online. Let's hear what he says.
I don't know if I want to.
All of that sex stuff aside, he's always seemed a little bit like one or two clicks removed from actual reality. I mean, R's got like that vibe about him that shit's just not... Fame hit him too hard, he wasn't right for it.
Yeah.
No, I just think it's a combination of things.
Sure, but he strikes me as one of those not quite all there dudes to begin with.
Oh, he did the ugly cry in the interview. Oh,
tears streaming down his face.
He's all about bodily fluids, tears.
So I mentioned earlier in the news that the EFF lost their vote to have Cape Town International Airport changed to Winnie Madikizela Mandela Airport. It's interesting, though, that the ANC didn't go with this at all. 224 votes against the EFF's 25. It was completely defeated. So, I mean, do they want to name Cape Town Airport something else? Does anyone care?
And also, Cape Town International Airport's a pretty good name for an international airport in Cape Town. I mean, it does what it says on the box.
I think it does. Because seeing as tourism is a big deal there, it's probably a good draw card.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye on the R. Kelly story because he's sobbing on camera. Talks about fighting for his life.
Oh,
those are his exact words. I'm fighting for my fucking life. And he talks to who? Gail.
Oprah's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Apart from actually being Oprah's best friend, she's a reputable journalist.
No, stop right there. She's Oprah's best friend.
She's a news anchor and journalist.
Just because she interviews sex pests doesn't make her a reputable journalist.
That is how Oprah and Gail met. They actually met in the newsroom. When they were 21 and 22, respectively.
We've triggered Sia. We went after the Oprah-verse.
Here's a little bit on R. Kelly.
And we are going to begin here tonight with an interview many have been waiting for. R. Kelly's first since being charged with sexual abuse last month. Gail King of CBS This Morning just spoke with Kelly. The charges against the singer involved four women, three of whom were allegedly underage at the time. In an interview that just wrapped, Kelly told Gail the accusations are lies. We have two clips here. Here is the first.
They are still talking about you with underage girls. Do you still sit here and say you have never been with underage girls? Can you really say that?
I sit here and say this. I had two cases back then that I said in the beginning of the interview that I would not talk about because of my ongoing case now.
Okay,
fair enough. But
okay.
I will tell you this. People are going back to my past, okay? That's exactly what they're doing. They're going back to the past, and they're trying to add all of this stuff now to that, to make all of the stuff that's going on now feels real to people.
But the past is relevant with you with underage girls.
Absolutely no, it's not.
Why?
Because for one, I beat my case. When you beat something, you beat it.
You were acquitted.
We can't double jeopardy me like that. You can't. It's not fair. It's not fair to nobody. When you beat your case, you beat your case.
But I'm not talking about the one case in which you were acquitted. I'm talking about the other cases where women have come forward and said, R. Kelly had sex with me.
Oh, shit. Now you can see his brain is like,
that was the worst answer.
Yeah, and also the fact that he went, there were two cases. Did you see him do that? He actually,
trying so hard to give an answer. He says, well, I will tell you this, in like he will ignore everything else.
Right.
The other cases where women have come forward and said, R. Kelly had sex with me when I was under the age of 18. R. Kelly was abusive to me emotionally and physically and verbally.
Okay.
R. Kelly took me in a black room where unspeakable things happened. This is what they're saying about you. These aren't old rumors.
Not true. Whether they're old rumors, new rumors,
why would they
future
say this
rumors,
about you?
Not true.
Well, you know what's amazing is like when she was saying he would take me to a black room and do unspeakable things to me. Even R. Kelly went,
"Oh,
yeah, why did you sign
up? Oh, the black room. Oh shit!
Found out about a black room.
Yeah. Also, like, why make it black? If you're gonna do unspeakable things to people, make it welcoming. It's just like, okay, you're about to get properly fisted, but at least the room is nicely it's got a nice mood. There's some Lang Lang scented candles.
Oh,
like, we're taking you into a pitch black room.
Uh-huh.
This is the man who allegedly pees on people, and you think he's
a lot of people pee on
for
people. Consenting
what?
Adults of age want to pee on each other, that's fine. But pee on kids.
But you think he's waiting and looking for the Lang Lang?
Let's listen to what R. Kelly says when he's probed further about
I love probing R. Kelly.
Kelly became much more emotional as Gail continued her questioning. Here's more of that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that you have never held anybody against their will.
I don't need to. Why would I?
Well,
how stupid would it never be held for anybody? R. Kelly, with all I've been through in my way, way past, to hold somebody, let alone 4, 5, 6, 50, you said. How stupid would I be to do that?
I didn't say you
were
holding.
That's stupid, guys.
I didn't.
Is this camera on me?
Yes.
That's stupid. Use your common sense. Don't forget the blogs. Forget how you feel about me. Hate me if you want to. Love me if you want. But just use your common sense. How stupid would it be for me to, with my crazy past and what I've been through,
oh, right now I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle.
Robert,
stop it. Y'all quit playing. Quit playing.
Robert.
I didn't do this stuff.
He's not even listening to Gail at this point.
This is not me.
No one listens to Gail.
I'm fighting for my fucking life. Did you hear that?
Oh, the crying.
Right at the end, yeah, he got really upset there. Listen at the end. This is good.
Down the street from the uncle.
Robert,
stop it. Y'all quit playing. Quit playing.
Robert.
I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life.
What's that thing about shoes?
I don't know. Well, go down the road and get some shoes from their uncle.
Yeah, it's just along the lines of the allegations.
A metaphor for something.
Of the girls saying, no, the girls would say that they are locked in the house and they cannot get anything unless R. Kelly says.
Uncle's down the road.
Yeah.
And then he would let them go. I don't know. That does not sound like an innocent man.
Yeah, like a desperate man who his life's caving in, and he is. He's right. He is fighting for his life, but that's what happens when you are that much of a fucking predator.
What's it called? The black room, the peeing chamber. It's literally just an Olympic swimming pool in a dark room filled with urine, and you have to do laps if you want to eat that day.
I don't think this interview is smart.
You don't think it was smart of him to do it?
Yeah.
Or for Gail?
Yeah. No, I've got to say that Gail did a pretty good job by the sound of things.
Gail knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
She was composed.
Nah. Oh, so I say she's a reputable journalist. You guys are like, no, she's just Oprah's bestie. And now you guys think she knocked it out of the park.
No, but she, how you guys? She has lots of experience interrogating Stedman for, like, stealing cookies out of the kitchen because Oprah wouldn't let him.
Yeah. Wandering too far off his lead.
Yeah, going to uncle's house to get some shoes.
Yeah.
Gail, I need you to question Stedman.
Very
I think he's watching porn again.
You need me to speak to Stedman, Gail, but I need answers. Go and interrogate him.
Take him to the back room.
Take him to the back
room. Well, Oprah's so busy interrogating the dead Michael Jackson that she had to hand over this project to Gail. She's like, Gail, I've got so much on my plate.
Gail, my witch
take some of my meat here. Take some of this.
My
take
the scraps from beneath the table, Gail.
Yeah.
The gilded golden scraps of Oprah.
I think Oprah and Gail looked at how well Judge Judy does, and they thought, well, we know everyone, and we can get anyone we want to be, you know, on our interview platform. So we should get people who have done unspeakable, horrible things in black rooms and then interrogate the hell out of them because that'll get ratings. And it's working.
I also like, but I mean, it must have been bleak for R. Kelly because
she's an entertainment genius.
It must have been bleak for R. Kelly because like Lance Armstrong got to sit with Oprah and go through his shit. R. Kelly's like, right, I want to address all of this in public on a big TV, and Oprah's like, listen, I can't help you, but I can.
Hello, Oprah. I don't want to speak to your uncle. I want to speak to Gail. I mean, I don't want to speak to Gail. I want to speak to you.
Unfortunately, I'm a bit busy, R.
What you busy with, Oprah?
Just, you know, Illuminati stuff.
Oh, shit. So I'm going to have to speak to Gail? She a hardcore journalist.
I have to see if Gail's free. Or
she a hardcore journalist. Can I take her in the back room first?
I'll have to see if she's free. She might be doing something important, R.
Here.
Yeah. Imagine. Okay. Poor guy. But he'd get Oprah.
You're not even good enough for Oprah with your confession about the black room. But I imagine Oprah's team Oprah, like as being like the Channel 4 news team from Anchorman. They like walk in formation, like it's Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, Gail, Oprah.
Yeah.
Who else is in the game?
Nate Berkus. And tons of super producers. Yes.
And a whole lot of and producers.
Now, Maya Angelou's dead, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but she would have come with him. How about...
Did you mention Dr. Phil?
Who's that other woman who Oprah...
Rachel Ray?
Rachel Ray's often a part of that posse, yeah. So apparently, women are less likely... Sorry, men are more likely than women to believe that climate change is nonsense. What do you think of that?
Because men are dumb.
One more time?
Men think climate change is less likely than women.
So Oaks believe it less.
Yeah.
What's that based on?
All right, can I look for some trouble with everybody this morning?
Goody.
I've changed my mind on two big things recently. And I was always pretty decisive about those two big things. And I think it's good that I've acknowledged I can change my mind.
So you're human.
No, but it's also a sign of...
Part of the scientific method.
When better information comes at you, that you are able to take that in and to change your opinion. Your opinion shouldn't be sacred.
Fundamental to the scientific method is being able to accept that
but
you might be wrong.
But you're not going
to
like the two things that
I know,
changed my mind.
But at least you change your mind about them in the right
one,
way.
The first one is abortion. I always used to be, I wasn't just pro-choice, I was actually pro-abortion. I would talk people into having abortions, even if I didn't know them. I'd say, no, I don't know you, lady, but you should really think about it.
Well, that's the Gareth Cliff Show for today. Have a great weekend, guys, and remember, get you a bloody abortion. We'll see you next weekend.
So I used to think, well, you know what, the overpopulation's a problem, and if we can talk people into having abortions, that'd probably be good for humankind. Plus, I don't like those big people carrying cars that take up all the space. And they're always full of, you know... people with like 6 or 7 kids. Anyway, the point is, that was obviously, you know, I was kind of thinking of me. And the more I've thought about it, the more abortion bothers me. The more the idea that, and particularly the stuff that's going on in America at the moment, which has just gone completely out of control, that a child who is born successfully after an attempted abortion.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats in America are saying that kid should not be allowed to survive. The Republicans are saying if a kid manages to survive an abortion and it's born, like after 9 months...
Can kids survive abortions?
I was
still stuck on that phrasing. What does that phrasing mean?
So imagine in the rare case that the abortion is not successful, the kid is born, that it should get medical treatment and live. Otherwise, it's murder. It's been born. And Democrats are saying, no, you should just kind of let it die. Which is very...
I didn't know abortion survival was a thing.
Yeah, it's grisly, it's revolting, it's called late-term abortion or whatever the hell it is. It's very ugly, and it's got me uncomfortable as hell. And I do think that there is something about once a human baby reaches a certain age, even in the womb, it just becomes untenable. You know, if you're going to wait 8 months... before you decide you're going to terminate your pregnancy, you're a pretty unkind creature.
Yeah, but they've got to get it when it's like a zygote or whatever it's called.
Yes, absolutely. And I still don't have a problem with that. And I'm very much into the idea that the only person who should make this choice is the woman. It's her body. And you know, I'm on that page still. But the point that I'm trying to make is that beyond, let's say, the first 3 months, and even there I'm starting to get sketchy about the kind of life that exists at 3 months because I don't know. I'm not a biologist. But it bothers me. Anything after that, it just seems cruel and unnecessary.
Yeah, when it's still in like the tadpole phase, but once it's got like, you know...
I think if you make that decision...
But you get actual scientists to like determine when it's...
Yeah.
When it's in larval phase and when it's in...
So the one thing I've changed my point of view on quite dramatically is abortion. So now you're not going to find me saying things that I used to say 20 years ago.
Well, I've never knew about like failed abortion and then the lighty can still live. And I also didn't like I'm against abortion when there's basically a viable human in a person.
Yeah.
So like early enough there has to be a limit on which phase.
And I know this is
not the expert enough to say when.
I know this is a hugely serious topic and a lot of people don't want to go there, but I felt like I needed to acknowledge I've changed my point of view on this for people who feel that they can't change their point of view on things.
Yeah, but that's the scientific method is to evaluate all the information and change your mind later when better information comes. The imbecilic method is to decide what you want to think and then find information that backs up what you already believe.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this brings me to the second one, which is climate change. I am not a climate change denier. I know that 98% or whatever it is of the scientific community are that they're absolutely convinced of the fact that we are going through a massive climate change and that change is brought about largely by
humans
and human activity on Earth, even if it's cow farts because humans are over farming or whatever it might be. And I don't doubt for a second when you look at the way that we pollute our atmosphere and our environment that we are changing the climate.
Just how we poke the carbon cycle.
Correct. But how much we can do about that, I'm extremely skeptical about. I don't think straws are going to make a difference. I don't think that if we all stopped eating meat tomorrow, it would make much of a difference. I don't think if we got rid of every every carbon-fueled car, that we'd suddenly be in a safe place. It's going to take a lot more than that to turn this around. I believe the only way to turn it around is not for us to start putting carbon taxes and stop eating meat and doing all those things that, that environmentalists, in inverted commas, tell you to do. I think technology will find ways to pull carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere.
They've got new ways that are... I read a thing like two days ago about a... Far cheaper way to pull it out of the air and put it through some sort of electrical process.
And I don't think that's solid form. Those suggestions and those ideas are not going to come from the environmental.
But until they figure out how to like pull the plastic out of the sea and then you know find a way to break it down, which there are ways now to break plastic down, but it's expensive. Mm-hmm. Like to stop the bullshit while we figure out how to reverse it is a pretty logical step. Like everyone's like, oh,
who's going to stop? Is it going to be us? Because
we can do with bioplastics for packets and straws and stuff like that. The more you produce them, the cheaper they become.
Who's paying for that stuff?
The same as
I don't want the paper straw.
No, the paper straw sucks, but you get a biodegradable plastic straw that they have at Monte Cassino at the movies, which is, for practical purposes, exactly like a regular straw, but it's biodegradable.
Well, then I'll use
Doggy-Doo bags that are little plastic bags are biodegradable. You get bioplastic.
But I don't think that it's... You know, rich, conscientious people in the world who are trying to prove they want to save the environment that are going to save
it. A lot of people are virtue signaling dickheads.
I think China and India are polluting.
China closed down a whole bunch of their coal power plants and were like, cool, you guys are going wind. Sorry for you, because they're a dictatorship and they can. And the interests of big industry.
Really?
Yes.
And India's got 11 out of the 13 most polluted cities in the world.
But we're talking about the problem and where it is. It's like you've got to start somewhere. And the more people, even if they are like the what are those hybrid cars? The Prius driving dick faces, the virtue signaling assholes who are, it's more of a fashion thing for them. If they start uptaking the new technologies that are expensive, it's like, I mean, I don't want to fake news the number, but there was a thing about what it would cost, what it would have cost in the mid-90s to make a battery that now goes into a standard cell phone. It's like hundreds of thousands of dollars because that shit was doable,
right,
but it was like impossible to mine and impossible to refine. Mm-hmm. Now, because there's such a demand, the manufacturing of it en masse makes it cheaper. So the more people start paying for bioplastics, even though they're 10 times as expensive as regular plastics, more manufacturers will make it, they'll become more competitive, the critical mass that needs to be reached, and then it becomes the new thing.
Yeah, so don't legislate it, let the market take you in
that
direction.
Sure, but it needs to happen.
And just like the solutions that will be provided by technology and by innovation, I do think that those are the things that will save the atmosphere and the seas and everything else.
I read a thing about Australian scientists that have very recently developed a viable, far more economical, cheaper way to literally pull carbon out of the air and turn it into solids. And that has been like a possible process.
Carbon out of the air.
And return it back to a solid form using some sort of electrolysis process that I do not presume to understand.
Well, it's easy.
But it's been doable, but in like completely unviably costly.
Yeah,
this is potentially...
You can reduce carbon dioxide to carbon and oxygen. Yeah.
And also plants do that.
That's the whole process.
It's energy intensive.
Yeah, you use a lot of electricity to do that.
And in using that electricity, you put a whole lot of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. So it might not be a virtuous cycle, but you can do it.
Mm. But when they figure out a way to make it economically viable and more efficient, so the amount of energy needed is less than what it can suck back into solids and be buried back in the ground... It is. A point is, I'm agreeing with Gareth. Technologies will solve it, but we have to embrace them and adopt them and pay the extra money for the paper bag or the bioplastic bag so that more people can get them for cheaper because we early adopters did it.
Anyway,
right.
I think that the environmental lobby are a bunch of loudmouths who come up with these soft bigotries of low expectations when it comes to poor people, and they say like, oh no, but we've got to save the environment because, you know, if I don't use my hairdryer for 5 minutes, I use it for three, then I can save the planet. But actually, there are like 23 families of extremely poor people who live in a landfill who honestly don't care how much plastic they use as long as they can actually get something in their systems.
Yeah,
and they don't care what the packaging is or anything else.
Two things I want to like see in my lifetime that I really hope to live long enough to see and that humanity achieves is for carbon-based energy sources to be... like almost unheard of, to be like taboo, and like it's like seeing a steam train. They have it as a novelty to show
people. Well, you have to remove yourself. You are a carbon
energy. Yes, I know that, but I mean, I'm just talking about it. I want
virtually all electric. You, I want
to
see
the only reason you have energy to talk to me right now is because you're breaking
even
carbon
when you
bonds.
Lose weight, which I'm busy doing. You actually breathe it out as carbon mostly. But the point I'm making is when we're making what electricity, I want to see it be virtually entirely from non-carbon burning sources, and I want
like
to see a
to
successful
be.
Manned mission to Mars.
Do you have a problem with nuclear?
No, I like nuclear.
Good, me too.
I like nuclear. Oh.
What are some of the cons
of by far our
nuclear, pardon my ignorance.
Mostly electricity that's cheap and free. I mean, cheap and clean.
Those are the pros. The cons are, if there's an accident, we all come out with eight arms growing out of our foreheads.
That's why I wake up on a weekday alarm.
And judging by the maintenance done by current people, that might happen here.
Yeah, I kind of don't trust our current leadership.
I want to see us get to Mars and back.
Or, do you? What for?
I just, as human achievement, pioneering, endeavoring, going into the space.
I want them to rather build those robots that run like dogs.
And I want to live to be 100. I want to be 100 and never see Liverpool win the league. I want us to be on Mars.
Even
with
an 18-point lead.
I want a disappointed Liverpool fan on Mars going, fuck, we came second by 1 point this season, shit. In like 2055.
Kelly says, holy shit, I didn't know late-term abortion was a thing. It is totally gruesome, especially live birth abortion. Despicable. How can that not be infanticide? Well, that's my problem with it, Kelly. So that's why I've revised my opinion. And I'm sorry to have taken up so much time with this, but I bump into people all the time who do the inverse of what Gord was saying just now, and he described it very well, where they take an opinion and they only listen to information that supports that opinion. And their opinion is sacrosanct. You can't criticize it. They don't like to hear any arguments to the contrary. Mm. And it doesn't help anyone. It
and you go find confirmation bias information that you think supports your pre-chosen belief, and you go say, oh, well, this expert is actually a homeopath and some mommy blogger, blah, 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 and then you go and build a case for your already decided opinion, as opposed to, as we mentioned, looking at all the information, looking at the credibility of the sources of the information, going, fuck, I'm going to make my mind up depending on what access I have to information. Oh, shit, look at that, a whole bunch of really compelling information to the contrary, like Gareth's done. Let me reconsider my opinion. Mm-hmm. People are like, I believe what I believe, and I'm right because I am myself and therefore the supreme being of Earth, and now I'm going to find convenient shit that makes me right.
Damn straight, there's Gord putting it in its place.
Hate imbecilic fuckers.
Cancer has affected everyone in some way or form, and this is not a downer, by the way. This is actually something that could inspire you and help you to figure out some very complicated things around cancer. There are still so many stigmas and unknowns around it, right? Sonia Booth hosts Understanding Cancer, a podcast series, along with world-class doctors, oncologists, specialists, and so many more interesting people. They discuss topics about everything from cancer in women, men, and children, the differences between those, to dealing with cancer financially, something a lot of people only realize when they're in it. Loads of more diverse and interesting topics around cancer. At 9 a.m. today, we look at cancers that affect men specifically. You can find out why guys dismiss a lot of worrying symptoms, how cancer treatments affect sexuality, and so much more. All 10 episodes are available for you to binge if you want to on cliffcentral.com, or you can get them one by one and listen to them every week. Understanding Cancer is brought to you by Discovery, and this is probably the best way for you to learn about the disease, or to learn about it if you're not suffering from it, but someone else has been diagnosed, someone in your family, a friend of yours, you know how it goes.
Speaking about man issues and stuff,
yeah.
So I don't ever really go to doctors. I'm quite healthy. I'm quite fortunate like that. So yesterday I decided I'll go to a GP for a general checkup, look around, that kind of stuff.
Is this a good news story, Ben?
Yeah,
or are you about to drop a clanger on us?
Did you get the finger?
Well, I didn't get the finger. No, it was just some general peace of mind, conversation, nothing else. And then towards the end she says, well, you know, you could always just have a vitamin B injection. Like, yeah, sure, okay. I've never had one of those before. I have no idea what it's like. How bad can it be? So I dropped trowel, and she jams this thing into the top of my left butt cheek.
What?
It hurt like, like, holy shit did it hurt. It was like I had literally been stabbed by, like, Shaka's spear.
It's like Shaka's Zulu having a free go at you with his biggest spear.
With, like, a run-up. He just thrust it into my side.
Like a javelin.
And I said, holy shit, that's fucking sore. And at this stage, the conversation was very polite, so maybe I should have taken aback.
Like, those were your sore. Exact words.
Ben's foul mouth begins its work.
And then suddenly my foul mouth came out. My whole left side went into, like, a spasm.
Did you feel fantastic afterwards, though, a little bit later?
No, I passed out. So I don't do well with ejections, right?
No, vitamin bullshit.
So I don't do very well with ejections. I've obviously got a needle phobia or something. So I had to have a lie down. I felt all fuzzy. I had to have a lie down for five minutes while she's trying to make polite conversation. I was like...
Did she think she'd made a mistake by offering you this?
No, I mean, look, sometimes you get people like me, unfortunately. So we chat, and I obviously get back up, and I go to the reception, and I go pay, and everything's okay. She gave me a lollipop like she gives all the other children. Yeah.
Did you really get a lollipop? Yeah, totally. That's the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah, she gave me a lollipop. So then I'm paying. I take my card back. I'm about to put it in my wallet. I think... doesn't feel so great. Again, I fucking black out. Lollipop.
Did you fall down?
Yeah, lollipop.
You broke your lollipop after the ejection was sore.
Typical of Gord to worry about the lollipop.
God, so I dropped my
quality
phone.
Quality lollipop, but didn't do anything wrong.
I dropped my phone, the lollipop, all on the floor in front of probably about four or five women in their 50s who now have all these kind of like mothering...
Did they come and hold you and stroke your hair and tell you it was going to be okay?
Yeah,
lady?
Pretty much. So I kind of got my way onto the couch where I'm now sitting. And again, I'm fine because it's a momentary
blackout.
But
you passed out.
Yeah, I like
fell on the ground.
Then you had a challenge.
I was having a challenge.
Vitamin D is supposed to do the opposite of that. It's supposed to make you red.
It's supposed to boost you in the arse.
It's
meant to make you feel amazing. And it's like a slight tingle, all these kind of things. But then I just sort of passed out and they gave me some water. I had a lie down. So like as you go into the doctor's room in the reception, there's just some guy having a lie down. And that's me. I'm that guy.
What a disaster you are.
I am. I'm such a disaster. And then the doctor's now got a new patient. But then she gets notified the fact that I've now sort of fallen over again. So she comes out and she's like, are you really okay? It's like, yeah, I mean, I feel fine.
And Ben went, can I have another lollipop?
Sounds like you accidentally got vitamin Q, which is the opposite of vitamin B. It's what they injected to people who are too chipper and happy. This will fuck you up. We put it in your ass and you pass out and you kick the shit out of you.
There was this guy who was also waiting. He actually physically picked up the three pieces of my lollipop and asked me if I still wanted it.
Are you sure it wasn't Gord?
It was such a strange 3 minutes of my life.
Why am I the lollipop ick? I mean, come on. Like, hey.
I think that's not a good reaction.
I'm a pie fat ick, not a sweetie fat
ick. Did you feel anything good over the ensuing few hours? Like, did you feel a little more energy?
I meant to feel good today, but I don't feel that different. Otherwise, I'm in good health. Like, she did all the vitals and...
She hadn't got any worries.
Checked and stuff, and everything seemed fine.
No, you've got to go for these things. I schedule my...
Okay, Arpinski. Sorry, I'll just show myself out.
Wait, what?
I didn't... it was a terrible joke, but I sometimes take a shot and you miss.
God, that's your new... That's the worst... That's the lowest ebb we've come to.
Can we just have a moment of silence?
If we maintain the silence, he'll feel worse.
There's no peaks without valleys, guys.
I swear I wish I could have immortalized everyone's facial expression.
We'll just edit that out of the downloadable.
So you don't know that. I mean, look, you got to go for these checkups every 6 months. You have to. You just have to do it.
Well, your age, yeah. I mean, I can wait.
My advanced age, it's important to go for the checkup.
Go for
checkups every 7 or 8 hours. Never know what can change.
But at the same time, like, as I ease towards 40, and then obviously the word prostate becomes a thing.
Ooh, yeah.
Don't ever get old.
Just get into
it. You're going to get it.
You got to get it
Luke
checked
Perry
out.
Luke Perry had a stroke in his early 50s. Could happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah. See, strokes are scary, though, because that shit can just happen. You can be in otherwise really
Gord,
good
I mean,
help.
Gord, help, has, help, Gord help. Has a stroke every morning, but that's a very
different And every night, Ben. I keep the prostate clean.
Michelle has a problem with me. Michelle says, Gareth, I hear you, but if you take the example of Cape Town with water saving, you see the difference. It's not everything to stop with straws, but everyone is more aware as you go, as you are, things change, every bit helps. She's just basically admonishing me for not being one of these people who's completely going to...
I'm going to stay away from straws. I'm going to abstain from plastics.
I mean, I do think if you're going to be the kind of person who believes in that stuff and you think you'll make a difference, you have to live it. You have to recycle. You have to have your different rubbish bins. You have to take your own bag to the shopping center and all that stuff. Sure, but then you do that. I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say to you, I'm living environmentally from now on. And then when I don't do it, I'm letting myself down.
But if I understood your point, I think what you were trying to say is that, like, the little corners we cut here and there are not going to solve the problem.
Absolutely zero.
Whether they
zero.
Make some or a little
zero.
Bit is a debatable.
They, zero.
But technology zero has to no. step up and zero. Like wholesale fix this shit.
Zero.
Science needs to fix it as opposed to mommy bloggers with
Wait.
Their don't get vaccinated.
Gareth, virtual. What you can't say they make zero difference.
Zero.
It's not zero difference.
Probably, I don't know, but I'm absolutely sure if you drive past Marlborough, right, there is a dump. On the mm-hmm. left-hand side of Marlborough, if you're going towards the East Rand from Sandton,
mm-hmm.
past
you
Marlborough Drive,
Park.
You can see the vultures and the crows and God knows what else circling above. They have plastic and shit that they're putting into the ground mm-hmm. there. There's probably corpses of people and who knows what else is in there. And that is probably a dump the size of the Sandton CBD, and it is just being filled with plastic
sure.
and rubbish. So all that stuff that the people who don't recycle are throwing into the normal garbage, just goes
but
straight
it would
in
be
there.
More garbage if it wasn't for the people that
yes.
don't recycle. If half
We're
a
labouring
billion
a point here,
if half a billion straws are going into the ocean every year and half of people stop using straws, then it's not half a billion anymore, and that
you
is...
You want to know who's making a difference?
A difference.
Here's a difference. Those guys are pushing all that recyclable cardboard
yeah.
and those trolleys down the road that get in the
people
way
who hoot at them make me want to yeah. stab them.
Those guys are probably doing more
pushing
for the
a cart up the hill to make min money while you're driving yeah, your SUV and hoot at them. Like, what are they supposed to do? Carry it or pull it over grass?
Anyway, triggered again, Soz.
Sure, you got very triggered. Huh?
So,
that's quite something.
So, did you say Soz?
I did. Soz, lol.
I have some more slightly breaking news. Netflix oh. are releasing yes. one of their
Wait,
amazing.
Ben, it's breaking news. Oh. We have to do the whole thing properly. You know we have a whole breaking news.
Play the breaking news
we've
music.
Got, we've got a protocol for breaking news, all right? So let's
have
try that
again. Have to adhere to it.
Of course. All right, let's go. Breaking news, all right.
Netflix are about to release a new real-life documentary about
yeah.
the disappearance of Madeleine McCann.
Oh, goodbye.
And this is where the kicker comes into it. Madeleine's parents, Kate and Jerry, along with their holiday friend and official spokesperson Clarence Mitchell, said they want nothing to do with this.
Uh-oh.
Well, what are they looking to hide?
Oh, the
that's
parents
what I
want nothing
they
to do
nothing
with it
Nothing to
as
do
well.
With this documentary. But when Netflix has a documentary, they do it right. So they've got unseen, interesting interviews around the disappearance of Madeleine
I think
McCann.
I saw her in Sandton the other day.
Madeleine McCann.
Yeah, sure. I thought so. I mean, it could have been anyone.
But now, look, obviously...
I immediately thought, well, that woman looks familiar.
No, well, she wouldn't know. If you
Wait,
went up there and went, are you
theory.
Madeleine McCann? She'd be like, who?
I've got a conspiracy theory around this whole thing, which I think is actually fair.
Go on, Ben, what's your theory?
If you look
so
at
far you've been right about almost everything.
Yes.
That yeah.
Okay, so there's a show on Netflix currently called Sex Education.
Okay.
Episode 4...
Mm-hmm.
17-year-old girl has an abortion. She then looks at a picture of herself and her mother, and she looks like Madeleine McCann.
What do you
Should
mean?
Should she not? Watch episode 4 of Sex Education.
You think the actress?
The actress in that, I think, is Madeleine McCann. Huh. It checks out the age, the time. She looks like her.
How old would she have been today? Or is she, well, let's still be hopeful. How old is she today?
She disappeared when she was 12.
So no, she disappeared when she was like three.
She disappeared
or
12 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to. Okay.
Oh, Matt. Never mind. I'm sorry. Matt's is not our strong point.
Anyway, so I think Netflix actually knows where she is because they've cast her in another show. That's why Netflix are making this true life documentary, and that's why the parents have nothing to do with it. So there's your conspiracy theory for the week. Madeleine McCann is actually a lead actress in the show Sex Education. She's the one who just had an abortion in episode 3, I think.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Gord, do you remember that dude we had in Jackie last week with his book?
Oh, yeah. The religious translations
about,
dude.
That's right, about the Bible. So Fabian wrote to us. Fabian says, I want to sincerely thank you guys for the profound segment with Jackie and his book and his views. I'm a Christian and believe, and I have been one since I was born, and in this year I challenged myself to face uncomfortable questions and tackle challenging concepts such as the reasons behind my belief. Jackie spoke with such sincerity and authenticity about concepts which I've always shied away from. A lot of the times you get these theologians or Bible scholars that engage in these type of talks with the intent of persuading you, turning you into a believer. But Jackie spoke and answered out of fact and understanding. I love Gord for his humor, but this time he proved really valuable in the direction of his conversation, because he found the common ground between what you would have written off about Jackie and his sentiments about clashing with other people's views. He was such a critical enabler, and I'm grateful for this role that Gord played in the conversation.
It's a pleasure and thank you.
I've never gotten a book off of Amazon, but I definitely will make an effort to get this one. Greatest of thanks. I drive past your office and I saw big ass satellites and a Cliff Central sign. Hashtag groupie, hashtag small things to big thing to me.
Ironically, one of the satellites, the biggest satellites outside the offices, is like a Jesus satellite.
Yes, it's a big Jesus
it's
satellite.
Like it's one of the reasons satelliting to heaven.
Yes. Yeah. One of the reasons we chose this place.
It was a bloody interesting guest and talk and et cetera, et cetera, with that Jackie gent. I really found it quite fascinating. I'm going to read his book too when I can get it.
Absolutely. There's a guy who charged an obese passenger sitting next to him on a plane 2,000 rand for encroaching on his seat, and he was happy to pay it.
Sounds fair to me.
So someone sent the story to me and said, was this you? Because I've often talked about this.
What a reputation you have.
If I got onto a plane and Gord came down the middle and he looked like he was going to head for my seat, I'd be unhappy. Mm. Even though I know Gord, I wouldn't have a problem traveling with Gord. But if in economy class, in
now
those
that's
little
an
seats,
opinion of yours. On one side, changing. You'd have the comfiest nap of your life.
Yeah, that's if I want to nuzzle with you.
It is
I
a
don't.
Thing, though. Like, it's cuck. You feel bad. Like, it's when there's...
how does it feel from your point of view?
I was speaking to my brother about this. It's like, when there's two big people next to each other, and you're the bigger one, you feel bad about it. But, like, I found that, like, I always choose to fly Emirates because I just prefer them to all other international airlines that I've tried before. They're very, like... cool about it. They're very understanding. Like, I don't think that because you're fat now you should get first pick of the open seats, but for the benefit of the people around you, they're kind of quite like, I've flown many overseas,
they figure it out.
Yeah, they kind of try to put you in a space where there's a gap between you and someone else, and
let's put them in the pen
over
there.
You know, when you're a certain size, you've got to ask for the seatbelt extension thing, and they kind of come give it to you without you having to ask for it, and they're very cool about it. But yeah, I mean, it sucks because, like, if there was a fat tax, you'd feel bad about it. Like, that would feel pretty, like, unfair. But at the same time, you go, okay, well, I kind of get it. I don't think that I literally, like, take up a significant amount of the person next to me's seat. But at the same time,
had
like,
overflow where there was obvious overflow?
No, I mean, I don't actually literally, like, I don't absorb the seat into me.
You don't pour over the edges.
A little, maybe, I don't know. But, like, I do feel bad when it's another big guy who's already, like, having a difficult time, kind of. He's already a bit uncomfortable.
And if it's a small dude who's crushed between you and another big guy?
If I'm not pressing against them, because you don't always, but if it's a large adult male or a large female, I don't know. But, like,
can I tell you something?
I have had people sleep on me through an entire flight and snore with that happy snore like they were back in their mother's womb.
And do you mind that?
I mean, I'm not going to push them off me, but I have had strangers that fall asleep in a kind of neutral upright position and end up with their shoulder on my shoulder, snuggling me like I'm the world's biggest teddy bear. And then I'm like, you've got a bonus here.
I tell you what, I'd much rather end up on a seat next to someone who's morbidly obese than someone who smells terrible.
Yes.
That comparison.
Yes. No. I've sat on a plane once. There was a dude sitting next to me. I don't think he'd had a chance to wash in a week.
Oh man, I've had a breath person.
Smelled like raw
onions. I've had a halitosis where the person's mouth was rotting out of their body. I've had a halitosis person where when the plane started to descend, people on the ground could smell him. I've also, like, and screaming babies, man. It's like, okay, babies are going to scream. They've got air pressure shit happening in their ears. They can't explain whatever. But, like, I've had a person just not give a shit at all that their toddler was kicking my seat behind me and screaming for entertainment while they also had a little baby, and they were like this American family, and they just acted completely oblivious about it. And then I've had another woman of Asian ethnicity sitting next to me and so, like, desperately apologetic and so desperately sorry that I felt bad for her. I'm like, can I help? Is everything okay? It's the attitude towards it. Like, it's the same as me. I feel a bit bad about being fat and I kind of try. Like, I think, like, be aware of...
You go, I'm sorry.
No, like, my point is just, don't be a dick that fucks with other people's comfort and doesn't care. This woman was so embarrassed about her toddler's tantrum and the fact that she was dealing with a newborn as well. It was the identical situation,
toddler and newborn, except she was one parent, the Americans were two, and she was so concerned. And then, as it happened, she then called the air hostess or air attendant, gender neutral air attendant, and said that she'd seen an open seat up front. Would it, and she, this mother, then asked if the air people, if there was an open seat for me to move. And I just thought, like, God, I feel so bad for you. But it's people who just don't give a shit with their screaming child and weaponize it, that must have their own section. They must have their own section in the front where they pay a little bit extra and all the people with screaming children sit together and they fuck off.
Yeah, maybe just soundproof that part of the plane.
Just, yeah, the first six rows and then, you know, because you got, like, the little station that, like, separates parts of the cabin. Put them in their own little section and then charge a little bit more and then you have to fuck off.
Well, it starts with that. And then where's the line drawn?
Where does
then
the discrimination end?
Because there was a lady who actually filmed herself seated in front of two larger people. And how she was, I think she was, like, on her own Instagram and she was putting up her own story of, like, look, I'm so uncomfortable, and she was vilified for it.
It's true, though. You do encroach on other people, and you do feel pretty bad about it. And, like, you know, all I can say is that I can't speak on behalf of all fat people, but I'm not choosing to be this way for the purpose of burdening other people, and I sometimes do need to fly. And I can't afford double the price of the ticket, so I'm in business class, where, in reality, the extra 3 inches of space is going to make fuck all difference to a person next to me anyway. They're going to have the same issue.
And then, I'm sorry, playing a bit of the devil's advocate. Couldn't a parent use the exact same reasoning?
It's the not giving a shit when the kid is literally kicking the back of your seat for fun for the whole flight.
They have an infant attached to their boob. They're trying to figure out.
I'm going to call and say it's the airline's problem. They must figure it out.
I pre-read this news story, GC. Yeah. I don't think you got to the punchline, which was that the person next to the fat person demanded to be compensated, and the fat person compensated.
Said, sure, here's some money.
2,000 rand.
Which I think, you know what, good for the fat person. And I think that person who demanded to be compensated must have felt like a
real dickhead afterwards.
I demand to be compensated. I paid for this seat, and
which goes to Gord's point.
A bit less arm room.
And the FedEx, like, shut up, here's money.
Goes to Gord's point about how if you're polite, you actually take consideration of other people into account. Usually, everything gets sorted out.
And if you go look quietly to the air assistant, like, hey, I'm, you know, obviously a large guy and I'm next to another large guy. Is there a way you could reshuffle things? If not, that's cool. But if so, I'd really appreciate it. They more often than not will help you out. I've been told no once because the flight was full and it was literally full.
So, Elton John's Rocket Man's coming out. You know, Bohemian Rhapsody was the biopic of last year.
Yeah.
And now people are excited about Rocket Man, which is the story of Elton John.
This is going to go down badly in China again.
Oh, China's going to ban it, definitely. Yeah. But the guy who plays Elton John in the movie, Taron Egerton, he's also the dude who was in Kingsman.
Kingsman was so good, and Kingsman 2 was such a pile of shite. It's the second most disappointing sequel of all time. I hope he makes a comeback, this guy. This young actor's handsome, funny, awesome, and then he was just crap in the last, like, two things I've seen him in. So I hope he bounces back hard for this
one. Apparently he can sing, too. Because
you don't need to be handsome, talented, funny, good-looking, famous. You also got to be able to sing. He probably has to tie his dick to the inside of his thigh so he doesn't fall over when he power walks.
Wow, Gord.
Gord's very upset about how talented Taron is.
You don't need everything, mate. You know, like, share a little bit with the rest of us. I have none of those things. I'm not famous. I'm not spectacularly good looking. I'm not especially wealthy. My jokes are contrived and sometimes terrible. I definitely don't bone supermodels. Gord, none of them have been that super.
I'll hug you after this.
Thanks.
So here he is singing.
If this oak walked in, you'd hug him first, admit.
I'd do more than hug him.
Oh!
See, it would be like one of those Maltese poodles.
Just goes up and humps.
Yeah, wags its tail till it wheezes.
I'll just go and dry hump his leg.
And wee.
Rather a lot of urine in this morning's show. All right, Elton John.
We call it Wee Wednesday.
Elton John and Taron Egerton sing Tiny Dancer together at the Elton John AIDS Foundation Academy Awards viewing party. This was after the Oscars, obviously. So take a listen.
It's funny how life turns out, isn't it?
This is him. And Elton's at the piano, so it's not very nice.
Blue jean baby,
What do you think?
That's other guy. That's not just Elton. Yeah, it's not him. EJ.
It's all Taron Egerton.
All Taron Egerton.
All of it.
I mean, for God's sake. No.
Yeah, Elton will sing a bit now. Jesus, no, still him. He's even got the Elton John mannerisms right.
Yeah, he's also acting.
Yeah, that's good. She just
laughs. Ben's doing a so-so gesture.
You don't think he's that good? I mean, he's not perfect.
For,
he's
an,
not
act, for an actor singing, doing Elton.
No doubt, guys, no doubt. But there's got to be levels, right? And it just sounds weak.
All right, well, let's get to Elton, because then you can...
It's not bad in if it's karaoke.
Now we're going to check out the real...
Yeah, if it's karaoke,
real
I mean, like, high fives all around, but...
All right. This is still him. Elton's in there with him now.
Yeah, I bet he is. I'd be in there with him too. Right up in there. Wouldn't be able to see where I am and you guys. You had a better chance today.
I never liked that song, I've got to be honest.
What the hell is a tiny dancer all about? It's like, what, did he date someone that was especially small?
Yeah, but
like,
rather he sings that than R. Kelly, though.
I've got a thing for dwarfism.
People, it's...
We it are fetish a, for the midget.
It was an ode to Tony Danza. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm going to sing it like that for the rest of my life. I bet you this Herc is like about to announce that in his spare time he cured cancer. And now he's going to like renew all... He's
gonna, you have a beef with...
No, it's just unfair how some people are so damn awesome and then... Other people are me.
And you.
Yeah, the like, other side of the just spectrum. We could, if you shared the awesomeness with me 50-50, we'd both be fucking awesome.
Yeah, you
way
are,
above
you
average.
You don't need 100%.
No, you don't you can, need you enough awesome for 10 people. You can just keep an overly...
So if there are any people who are as talented as Taron Egerton, who would like to donate 10-20%
of their awesomeness...
Gord is a talent socialist, essentially.
Yes, exactly. It's not right. They didn't earn it, though. They didn't work for it in a capitalist economy, free market way. They were just given it, and it's bullshit.
And that is my
although he probably did work out. He probably did do acting classes. I take it back. He deserves everything he gets. I reckon that Oak turns blowjobs down more often than I can conceive of having them. He probably has to walk around with a trolley thing in front of him so that he can mobile.
You're not good. He probably has ugly toes or snores.
Yeah, that's going to make
I snore better. And have ugly toes. Fuck this. I'm going home. It's 8 o'clock. I've had enough of this goddamn show.
I was trying to make you feel better.
He's digging so deep. He's trying to find one thing.
He's trying so hard to be nice.
You know what, Gord? His jawline is too sharp, actually.
Yeah. You could carve statues with his jawline. It's not even, it's geometric.
We love you, Gordon.
But yes, this Kingsman 2 was cuck, though.
Yeah,
like,
I
Kingsman
1
was such a brilliant movie.
I went and watched Kingsman 2, I think, and I could have left
by the time you were top. By the time you were 5 minutes in with that opening chase scene, you just knew it was going
to
be bullshit.
That's the one with Channing Tatum and Halle Berry
yes.
and the win to the U.S.
God, what a pile of shit. And it had Elton John as, like, the bad. That's probably where their bromance began. He was, like, captured by the awful,
island.
Poorly played bad guy. There was the bad lady was played
Julianne
by
Moore,
who's the worst. The only more disappointing sequel to me ever, that like where the sequel was on the same scale of production and budget, like you had like Starship Troopers 2 starring no one with a South African like when they make a proper box office sequel.
It's a South African.
Yeah, but what was her name? She was a famous FHM belter.
Oh, right.
You got to see her numbies.
Yes.
What a numbie.
She used to date Emmanuel.
Don't worry about it. It's not for use here.
All right, but the point is, which one was
Anchorman 2?
Oh, yes.
Was so not only crap compared to glorious, legendary, best movie ever after The Highlander, Anchorman. It was diabolically shit in every. The only thing funny was the Kentucky Fried Bat. That was hysterical, and the deep fryer and the bowling balls in the RV that they thought was self driving but wasn't. But I mean, there's an Anchorman thing on the internet called Wake Up Ron Burgundy, the Lost Anchorman Movies. Why is everyone's alarms going off?
It's oh, just yours, Gord.
Put it on silent.
I have it on silent. Alarm override silent. But it was a total dog shit sequel, and Kingsman 2 was nearly as dog shit compared.
I agree.
But right. Wake Up Ron Burgundy, Google it. It's outtakes from the original Ron Burgundy movie that's been stitched together into something vaguely resembling a coherent story, and it is so funny. It is so funny, you'll die.
Okay, well, then Watch it with a nurse in attendance. Yes. All right, it's time for us to wrap it up and get the hell out of here. Here's the un-news. The EFF have failed to get Cape Town International Airport renamed. This is a massive blow to the party, as they were hoping for this as election ammunition. Now they're back to being left with socialism is cool as a slogan, and whites must be blamed for everything. Whether or not this is enough to get the votes they need remains to be seen. We'll keep observing that story. Mampincha is trying very hard to gain public sympathy after he was recorded live hitting Babes Wodumo. Apart from his claims that she actually physically abuses him too, he also says she snores, she leaves the cap off the toothpaste tube, and doesn't watch Muvango with him. Rassie Erasmus is considering who he will choose as the next BOC coach in 2020. He has a few candidates in mind, the clear front-runner being Rassie Erasmus. Rassie thinks Rassie displays all the right qualities for the job and is also someone he can trust and depend on. Excellent. All right, that's it from us. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have an excellent day in the company of CliffCentral.com. And make sure you don't do anything stupid.
Hashtag love you, bye.
All right, thanks. If you fall asleep on Gord on a plane, consider it a fortune. A good fortune.
I'll stroke your hair.
This is CliffCentral.com.